Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV in Richmond. Check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We are packed today, and we're giving away prizes every hour. 7:45, your next chance to win some Wizards tickets. Right now, though, we will talk some movies and TV shows with our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, Papa Squeezies. How you guys doing?
Hello, let's get right into it. I just watched the trailer, and I am intrigued by Civil War. Fill me in.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is one of the most aggressively immersive and brutal experiences I've ever had in a cinema. And I know that might not sound like something you might want to experience, but it is, I think, a very important film that asks a lot of questions about our current state of the world and our country. The filmmaker, Alex Garland, is approaching it from a nonpartisan perspective, and the idea is you're following a group of war journalists as they travel from New York City to Washington, D.C. to interview the president, played by Nick Offerman, as rebel forces are descending upon the White House. And it is a very striking, a very aggressive movie, as I mentioned, that deals with it's also a love letter just to journalism in general. One of the big themes of the film is this concept of we record so people ask. And that's kind of a throwback to old school journalism, but also the way films intrigue us. This cast is incredible. Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spaney, Wagner Moura, who you might know from Narcos, a really phenomenal cast. Jesse Plemons. And honestly, I will say this. This is not a movie that I would be like, oh my gosh, you have to go out on a date night and watch this. This is a very intense and immersive and brutal experience in a way that is, you know, at the end of the film, I felt sick, to be honest with you, and I had to decompress for a few days. I've been thinking about it.
Took you to decompress from this movie?
You need a life, man.
I will tell you guys this. Like, this film is so, I don't know how else to say it other than it feels like it could happen. That's how scary it is. This is about a civil war happening in our country and the concept of, you know, people in the country just ignoring it unless you're part of the fight. And this is from a very famous filmmaker that you guys have definitely seen his work. So his name is Alex Garland. He wrote 28 Days Later. He wrote 28 Weeks Later.
Those
he wrote Sunshine.
He loves dystopia.
Yeah, he's big on that.
His first film that he directed was Ex Machina back in 2014.
That's a good movie. That's a good flick.
And then he did, right. I mean, and then he directed a little movie called Annihilation after that, which was a phenomenal film as well. And then he directed a movie called Men, and now this is his new one. And I just got to say, it's powerful. It's just a very intense ride. And obviously because of the DC setting and the characters traveling to DC, I was talking to my buddies about this the other day. We've seen movies where war is happening on our country's soil and in Washington, D.C. Like, but they're done in cinematic ways, like White House Down or like Olympus Has Fallen, where, like, you know, where it's basically Die Hard in the White House. those movies are designed to kind of suspend your disbelief in a way. And I was talking to a buddy of mine about this. It's like, this is a film that you're watching and it feels real. They shot it with certain lenses and certain aspect ratios that are meant to mimic the way we view the world, the way we view news footage and things like that. And a lot of people online are talking about, or trying to complain about the movie being political. I didn't find it political at all. I found it completely nonpartisan. And I think that the movie is designed to provoke and ask you questions. This is a very, very, very R-rated movie. One of the most violent films I've seen in a long time, because the violence is so in your face and so feels so real. So what's interesting about the movie is that Kirsten Dunst and Kaylee Spaney's character are photographers. They're war photographers. And Kirsten's like a seasoned photographer, and Kaylee, who you might know recently, she played Priscilla in the Elvis movie, in the most recent one. She's like coming up and she's like new, and she thinks that Kirsten's her hero and wants to learn the ropes of it all. And so it's this really interesting dynamic of like old school and new school journalism. In my opinion, the movie really celebrates our journalists and what they capture, specifically war journalists, people who are over there capturing images of horrific things. Because Kirsten's character basically says this. She's like, I went over to those wars to send pictures back to warn our country, basically, to not let this happen in our own country. And obviously, you know, you can take politics into it. You can look at the world and the country that we have right now and how divided we are. And you can place the story, and it feels real. It feels scary to actually think about it. So I love this movie. I'll probably never see it ever again. But I genuinely think it's an important film. Just know that going in, that it's not like some popcorn entertainment film. It is.
What's your rating?
4.5 out of 5.
Hey, Kevin, are you aware there's a civil war on Commander's Twitter over Drake May and Jaden Daniels? You aware of that civil war?
Absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I'm just waiting for the NFL to come back. So
NFL draft is in less than 2 weeks.
Kev, do you watch? You don't watch golf? Like,
no,
the majors.
I tried, man. Like my dad, my dad and my brother.
You're such a disappointment to your dad. Can you imagine having your son?
I probably am. No. I mean, when I was a kid, though, it is funny you bring that up. Like, my brother and my dad are super alike, and I'm more like my mom. So, like, right. And my dad would try to get me into golf and stuff like that. But I was always, I was always watching Face Off or Pulp Fiction or something.
Right.
But you're watching
Tim Cup instead of playing actual golf.
But I'm Happy Gilmore, I guess.
Yeah, that too.
But in terms of the draft, I'm very excited to see what happens to J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, I'm excited about Penix Jr. I'm excited to see kind of where these guys go. I'm very curious, and I won't go into full football mode here, but I am very curious to see if J.J. Translates to the NFL. I've talked a lot of I've had a lot of conversations with people about
you care
this
about
stuff,
the like second that. Tier of quarterbacks. We understand.
Well, no, but like, I mean, I remember watching Stetson Bennett win those back-to-back championships, and I remember talking to a buddy of mine going, is this guy going to translate to the NFL? And obviously, I think he went to the Rams, and he's like, I don't even think he's played a game.
He's got off-the-field issues.
Kevin, let's get back to your expertise. Fallout is on Amazon, I believe.
Yeah.
Based on the video game, is this worth watching if you're not a gamer?
So, guys, this is really crazy. And I think this is crazy, and I know that you guys might not think it's as crazy as me, but I love coincidences like this. So this is actually executive produced, and the first three episodes are directed by Jonathan Nolan. And I'll get to why that name is important in a second. But so Fallout is arguably one of the most one of the biggest video games of all time. And we haven't really seen a lot of great video game translations over the years. I think The Last of Us was an incredible, incredible start or viewpoint of what you can take with video games that have very important narrative features and turn it into a show that really is engaging. Last of Us was amazing. So this is taking place 200 years after the apocalypse. And essentially what we're dealing with in Fallout is the consequences of nuclear war and atomic bombs. So the show is executive produced and three episodes directed by Jonathan Nolan. He is the brother of Christopher Nolan. Now, what did Christopher Nolan just direct? Oppenheimer.
Flottenheimer.
Christopher Nolan just won Best Picture and best director for Oppenheimer. What is Oppenheimer about? It's about the fears of what the atomic bomb and the nuclear war will do to our future as human beings. So the coincidence that his brother has now adapted a series that deals with the future that Oppenheimer was afraid of is insane. And this is a complete coincidence. And so Jonathan Nolan is actually Christopher Nolan's secret weapon, in my opinion. This is the guy who created Memento. This is the guy who wrote the best lines in The Dark Knight. This is the guy who wrote Interstellar. This Jonathan Nolan wrote Interstellar originally for Steven Spielberg, and then Christopher Nolan took the project on to finish it. So it's a really interesting thing. To me, Fallout is effective because of what Oppenheimer did. Oppenheimer brings up this thought process that we don't think about this. I remember Matt Damon, and I was sitting down, and this sounds like a big time, but I'm just going to say it. I was sitting down with Matt Damon and Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, and Damon had a great line about, why aren't we thinking about this every single second of the day? Like, why aren't we walking around thinking that nuclear bombs are in our arsenal all over the world and that people could be annihilated instantly? And it's a really scary thought. And I think that's exactly what Oppenheimer was talking about. And now with the show Fallout, it's basically what would happen if we did enter a nuclear war and then the post-apocalyptic fallout of that, no pun intended. This is an amazing series.
How many episodes have you watched, and what is your rating on Fallout?
So I'm an episode and a half in. So I said this to you guys before on the show. A lot of my prep work for interviews is either watching films and or, you know, watching series. And so, like, there will be a week where, you know, like last week I interviewed Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling for this movie called The Fall Guy, and then Chris Pratt for this movie called Garfield. So I'm watching all these different shows and movies throughout the week to prepare for these interviews. So Fallout, I've only seen an episode and a half so far. The episode I have seen was brilliant. Now, you guys are familiar with the actor Walton Goggins?
Yep.
You know that actor?
Yes, he's one of my favorites.
Jason loves him.
Let me tell you right now, his performance in this series is insane.
We had him on the show, didn't we?
I think we did a long time ago.
He was great. He's awesome.
He is remarkable.
Yes.
Obviously, he was great in The Hateful Eight. I mean, he's done. Was Justified one of something?
Yes.
No, maybe
he was in Justified. Yes.
He
was in The Shield. So. He was in The Shield. That's when I first started to follow
his
career. He's awesome. Yeah.
And so, listen, I don't know if you guys will be into this type of series. There is obviously a sci-fi aspect to it, but it does. You know, if you saw Oppenheimer, for me, this is kind of what would have happened if Oppenheimer was truly believing what would happen to the world. And that was what makes it interesting to me and scary to me. So that's available on Prime Video. That's a streaming option for this week. But Civil War is theaters. Obviously, you can tell the content that we're talking about this week on your show is very light and very, you know.
Yeah.
But,
fluffy.
Yeah.
So Civil War comes out today?
Yeah, Civil War in theaters today. Now, if you guys like any of those movies that I mentioned, like, you know, Ex Machina, 28 Days Later, you know, Annihilation, Sunshine, like this guy is, you remember that movie with the beach that with DiCaprio years ago? Where he, it's a great movie, but he wrote the book for that too. So I just, you know, just warning to people with Civil War, it is
it's intense. All right, Kevin.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Right, I love you guys.
Thank you, Kevin. Right.
This is Kevin McCarthy.
You just shoved him off. You just shoved him.
He gave it a 4.5.
All right.
For Civil War.
I want to see that.
He seems to like Fallout.
I definitely
can watch
see
on
Civil
Amazon.
War.
Coming up later in the show, we got John Feinstein.
We got to talk Masters.
We've got Dennis Scott joining us in studio with his son for the Capital Classic, and we will talk UFC 300. But you want to get into the Masters next? We'll do that right here on The Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, coming up at 7:45, give you a chance to win some Wizards tickets. But Jason mentioned the Masters, round one yesterday. It did start a little bit late, but most of the guys got it in. I know Tiger Woods didn't get his full round in, but he played well.
Yeah, the weather went under. Well. The weather wasn't as bad as they thought, so they started 2.5 hours late. Yeah, so Tiger has 5 holes to play today.
But just to kick off Tiger, because he's the one that moves the needle, I was blown away at how sharp he was. Blown away.
I also thought his gear looked okay after all the making fun of, what's it called?
Sunday Red.
Sunday
Red. Well, I think clearly what he did is he just took all his perfectly fitted Nike gear and just made all this perfectly fitted. And it looks silly on him because he's
fit. Looks good on him, yeah.
Yeah. But it's way better than Jason Day's gear. Jason Day's Mall Bond gear, where he's wearing the parachute pants.
You don't like the puffy pants?
And then the ugly shirts. No, that it's literally the worst gear I've ever seen.
He must be making a lot of money to wear that.
A lot of money.
Because you know he doesn't. There's no way he looks in the mirror and goes, I look good.
Yeah. Just now, if I start wearing puffy pants in 2 years, play this tape back. Yeah. I didn't like the sneaker bit, and now I'm all into the Jordans.
Maybe
and
you'll adapt.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Maybe
it
becomes
Tiger scrambling. First of all, his putting was really good. He was 13 for 13 inside 10 feet. And to make par on two when the ball was nestled up against the tree, to make par on 9 when he was in the trap, and make par on 12 where he was in the pine straw beyond the green.
When he was in his peak heyday, he was one of the great scramblers of all.
He was scrambling his ass off,
Maybe the greatest. Who knows what will happen today? He could easily just blow up. But it does show you he knows the course. He has the course knowledge. And I don't think if these other guys are on, he has any chance of hanging with them. They're just too good.
Yeah.
Like, here's the question. So DeChambeau's leading right now by a shot over Scheffler. Can DeChambeau continue and hold off a guy like Scheffler who's not going to fade?
He might fade DeChambeau a couple shots. Has DeChambeau been playing well? See, this is where you
been
have no
pretty,
idea.
I mean, he shot a 58, 6 months ago
has
or so.
Has he been winning on the LIV Tour?
Does he have any wins?
Who would one know?
Or two. I know he shot a 58.
I think the Crushers won as a team two tournaments ago.
Yeah. Hey, listen, he's always pretty dialed in.
Yeah.
And you know he's skinnier now, right? He went from super muscular to thinner to get a little more fit and flexible.
He's playing a brand new set of irons that just got approved by the USGA to conform to their rules. So the irons he was playing, they're still the one length, but the ones he's playing now, they have like a little thing on the back. You know how the driver has like that little arrow thing on the back?
Yeah.
He has something like that on his irons to help reduce spin from left to right spin or right to left spin. And they just got approved. So this is his first tournament with these irons.
They're 3D printed irons?
I don't know if they're 3D.
That's what it says. Uh-huh.
It might be.
Using 3D. He's using irons from a printer.
He's revolutionized the game. You can love or hate him. The guy's unbelievable.
You know how like NASCAR teams, they push the limits with their cars about how low they can be, how aerodynamic they can be. Bryson's basically doing the same with golf because he's using a 45.75 inch driver. A crank driver that's used on long drive competitions.
We can't even get a printer in this building that prints on paper, let alone a printer that prints out.
But he also
irons
is doing
that
it
can
too.
Win the match.
So he's also doing it too with his techniques. Yeah. Like you see why he looks so different than everybody else because he's just changing the game in the way
he's using technology to his advantage and he's pushing the limits with it.
He's probably the only guy in the field that had one length irons. Nobody plays with one length irons.
Bryson, nobody picked him in a golf pool. More importantly,
and nobody.
I thought about taking him. Well, it's and
early.
I ended up taking Phil Mickelson.
It's
with
early.
My
how many guys lead wire to wire?
Today will be a very very telling test because Bryson. We thought there would be a wave advantage late early, but it turned out the weather shifted and the wave advantage was playing early late. You didn't have any of the teeth of the wind, so Bryson benefited from a calmer golf course, a softer golf course because of the the rain that came through the area as opposed to a Max Homa or
well,
Nikolai Hoegaard.
That's what makes it more impressive with guys like Hoegaard and Homa did yesterday in that wind. The wind was brutal. You could see
it. Yeah. The wind, Tiger said it was one of the most difficult wind conditions ever.
It was brutal.
And Tiger played, and think about this, in 2007 when that was considered one of the windiest Masters ever, and I think Zach Johnson was the winner over par. Think about how easy Augusta National is, how easy it is to make birdies there. And in 2007, they finished over par.
I can't stop looking at how good he looks today. He's wearing the khaki pants or whatever those are.
Like a cream-colored pants. With a puffy vest.
I'm a big vest guy. Like, I wear vests all the time because I like to be warm. And it's perfect for
a cashmere sweater.
I made fun of that gear. I might need that whole exact.
You know, outfit. It comes out May 1st.
See, you're
May
turning.
1st, it comes out.
No, but he makes it look so good. Mm-hmm. I love his vest.
If I wore that, my man boobs would be popping.
We just got to get a big
SundayReds.com is about to get a bunch of hits.
Dude,
I did notice.
Awesome today.
I did notice that one of the guys drafted in our pool was Hideki, and he's way down the list.
Hideki didn't have a single birdie yesterday.
He played terrible.
He played awful. And
I can relate to that.
And he played kind of early, too. So he played awful in the early wave, which most advantage. Now he might miss the cut.
I know. It's top 15 ties to make the cut, so he can still come back.
So we'll see.
Zalatoris played really well until he bogeyed 17 and 18. He was playing really well. I think he got it to four at one point. But
if it continues, who has Scheffler? Who got Scheffler? Because she didn't take him.
I have Scheffler.
Oh, yeah. You're in a good spot, man.
It's a great spot.
Scheffler showed exactly why he's the best on tour right now. If you looked at number nine, him and Rory basically had the same shot into their approach shot into number nine. It was a downhill lie with a strong like breeze blowing into you, and Rory hit his approach shot kind of high and spinny, and the wind took it to the center of the green. Basically, no chance of making birdie from where he was, and Scheffler was able to hit it through a wind, like basically through the window, low trajectory, fight through the wind, leave himself an uphill 8-foot putt. Now they both made par.
Yeah.
But this is why Scheffler is so good, is he puts himself in position.
He's
able to
good.
Put himself in positions to make these putts.
He's the best iron player on tour. He's not even close.
His ball striking is better than peak Tiger Woods, if you look at the data
at the stats.
If he could putt semi-normal, he would run away with tournaments.
And he tries to. I mean, he works on his putting. Think about this. Scheffler, in his last 27 starts, has 17 top fives.
That's a pretty absurd
number.
I mean, that's dumb.
Sick run he's on.
And today's very critical for people who still haven't finished because I believe 18 of the last winners of the Masters, after day one, were within the top 11.
Yeah.
Top 11. So basically, you can shoot your way out of the tournament with
I don't think
day
the
one.
Wind's supposed to be bad today, though.
I think it is. I think it's supposed to be bad all day today.
I saw there was, maybe it's going to
sunny with gusty winds developing this afternoon.
What are they gusting?
Winds at 20 to 30 miles per hour, higher gusts possible.
So later in the afternoon.
I was reading all day. Now, I was wrong yesterday about the weather, but I was reading today's going to be a debacle. You might have 5.5 hour rounds today.
But again, I think for a guy like Tiger, if you're a Tiger fan, a lot of us would love to watch Tiger, that's good for him. He has more experience. He can handle those tough conditions. And again, I was blown away at how sharp he was, considering he had played, I think, 14 competitive holes going into that tournament. This year.
He's the greatest of all time.
He still has skill. But you mentioned he knows the course better than anybody.
He knows it better than anybody.
Yeah, but didn't Jack win a green jacket in his 40s?
He did. He was 46 years old. Now he's 48. Phil won at 50. So
I'm going to be curious today to see how Tiger handles playing more than 18 holes in a day.
Correct.
I think he can do it. I think he can. Only
It'll take five extra, but it'll take its toll.
You got to remember, he has to get up early in the morning and do all this rehab stuff. He probably only got 5 hours of sleep last night because he has to get up so early.
Yeah, the fact that he finished at 8 o'clock and then has to come around, do a turnaround, and be on the course and warm up and go ahead and drive at 7:45.
He looks amazing. And he is hilarious. I know he's banged up, but when he's struggling a little bit, that walk is hurting. And when he buries a putt, he could be a save for par. He's got that, you know, he starts strutting.
He sells a little.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. His body still hurts.
It does. Yeah. I'm not saying he's not banged up.
That's adrenaline.
It's adrenaline, and exactly. But he clearly shows, Jason, here's the thing. He still has the ball speed and everything else to compete if he can ever just get dialed in. Like, he could still do this if he could just get dialed
in. Well, he can do it.
He still has the hands.
But the four rounds is what takes its toll.
I think what takes his toll is the lack of practice.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't like practice anymore because his body hurts.
It looks like he's been working on his game.
When he birdied number one, I go, guys everywhere are going to stop having sex.
I don't believe that. I know that's your thing.
Yeah, they're not going to go to that extent.
By the way, you didn't send me the dong pic. You never did.
I didn't? No, I sent it out.
Yeah, you didn't send me. I must be off your list.
He's not on the thread.
Yeah.
Sunday is going to be perfect. 85 degrees and sunny. Winds are dying down.
Yeah, Saturday, Sunday are going to be very scoring.
My prediction, though, is that Bryson will fade. It's just too hard. I mean, I just think he'll fade.
Yeah, it kind of depends on how bad the winds are when you're playing.
How far back can you be right now to still be in it?
It looks like 2 under is within that top 11 rule that I gave you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the top 11 rule? I can't remember that.
I said the last 18 winners of the Masters have been within the top 11 on the leaderboard.
So McIlroy would be out of it.
If that held true.
Yeah.
If it held true.
Yeah.
And Tiger would be out.
I think the last time to do it was Tiger in 2005.
But it's just so fun to watch.
The legendary.
What time does the Masters.com live?
No. It's on ESPN at 7:45.
Oh, it is. So that's when he's off
at 7:50. Yeah. He looks so good.
That's why I was confused when you changed the channel.
Oh, because I just wanted to put a live from because I wanted to see if
the live from we were looking at his silly outfit.
He probably has a better drop than you, EB.
I will say this: I've stood next to Tiger several times, interviewed him once, and in this 7 or 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I think he's gotten a little thicker. He's got a tiny little waist for as tall as he is.
Very skinny.
He got a tiny little waist, and
he does have thin legs,
but he does have broad shoulders. He probably has a close to an EB drop.
He's close. He's approaching you.
You and Tiger.
I believe I'm broader than him, but he's definitely narrower than me. So we'll have to figure that out.
I wonder how long he actually takes him to get prepped and rehabbed for
to get out
to the range.
Hour and a half.
No, well, think about it. He's got to do rehab as soon as he gets back to the clubhouse.
Yeah, he does that.
Like he's got
pre and post.
Yeah, and then
he'll have to do a little more today because he's going to have to rest they'll have that break in between. I don't know what he'll do to stay warm. Maybe he'll ride a bike or something. I don't know what they're going to do.
There'll be about an hour break before he goes back up.
But look.
I want to know how much Cake's watched.
Zero swings. Not a single one.
I was a little
distraught, though, when I saw Denny McCarthy at +2. I needed to turn it around.
It's hard for first time.
Would love him to make the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Tiger probably play 2 or 3 holes.
Yeah, well.
That's when I was watching.
Yeah.
He tees off in 10 minutes.
Tom, I was driving back.
Or 15 minutes.
Where was I? I was driving back because we had it on, and he was watching on his phone, just giving me play-by-play as I'm driving.
That's so dirty.
Well, we just love it.
giving you swing-by-swing.
Oh, he's here. There. Yeah, we're just kind of.
He's like an on-course commentator.
Yeah, How many majors has Scheffler won already?
He went 3 or 4?
No. One.
Only Augusta?
He's got Augusta, and he.
No.
One. Is that right?
One.
Does he? He doesn't have U.S. Open.
No.
Okay.
Or PGA, right? Yeah. He only has one.
If you're right, I defer to you. I feel like he's.
Yeah,
won
he won the Masters, T2 at both the PGA and the U.S. Open, and T8 at the Open.
Get back to me at the end of the year, then I'll be at 3 or 4.
He'll be at 3.
He's that good. He could win 2 in a year.
He could.
He could easily win 2 in a year.
You know what? Long way to go.
If you could re-bet again,
he's the favorite.
You would have already, but now you're doubling down on him.
He's +160 to win right now.
Now you're doubling down. I can't believe Anna didn't pick him. Who'd she take?
Rory.
She took Rory.
You know, yeah, I give everyone a buyout right now. $10.
Nope.
The $20 is the bet.
Yeah.
I might consider it. Well, I don't think my guys have a prayer.
What did Koepka finish at?
You know what?
Even.
His wife might go into labor.
Neiman's still alive.
That is true.
Neiman's still alive. She ain't going. Most first-time moms don't go into labor early, right? On the whole.
No, I thought it was the opposite.
My wife came a month early.
First timers. I thought it was opposite. First timers come early.
No, I think it's, well, my experience is that first time it's takes a little longer, and then the second or third times it's easier to come down to shoot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's in the moment of truth. But whether they come late or early probably doesn't have to do with that part.
Okay. I don't know. My kids were maybe.
I mean, odds are she's not going to,
I don't think she's going to have the baby.
Hey, if he's leading the Masters on Sunday and she has the baby, that might be the story of 2024.
Well, if he leaves it.
Yeah, he leaves.
Well, he's an idiot if he leaves. And this is one thing that my buddy Tom did say that is annoying when everyone says they're a family man. Well, who's not a family man? You know what I mean? Okay, maybe if you have some horrific hillbilly family or whatever, But for the most part, 99.9% of people are family men.
Yeah.
Everyone loves their family.
Of course.
Who doesn't love their family?
Yeah.
When they say he's a family man, it's actually insulting.
But they're all, all the golfers are family.
I'm not a family man. Of course, everyone's a family man.
Just see if it comes to that. I'm guessing it will not.
If he leaves, he's an idiot. Bryson, he's the dumbest family man ever.
If he leaves with a lead or close to the lead, yes. If he's six back.
No, what if it happened last night and then he withdrew last night after the round the 66 bogey
dumbest
round?
Dumbest guy ever. Because it's not, you're going to have the rest of your life with your kid. That's a few fleeting seconds where it squirts out. Ain't that big a deal. Well, you have somebody videotape it. It's fine.
He is going to have like 20 more cracks at the Masters.
All you're doing for your wife is giving her ice chips. You don't do any. You couldn't be more useless.
He's got to cut the cord.
Cut the cord. That's fine.
Well, the reality is back in the day, they didn't even let dads, like our generation of dads, weren't allowed to be in the room.
He's basically, come get me whenever the kid comes
right.
out. He's in a waiting room for 18 hours.
Yeah.
It's not going to come down to that.
It doesn't mean anything.
All right. Well, right now he trails Bryson DeChambeau by one shot. Tiger Woods, one under, and he'll tee off in about 10, 15 minutes, picking up the end of his first round. Coming up next, some pretty amazing details on the Shohei Ohtani interpreter case as the feds have now charged him. We'll get into that here on the Junkies. All right, we told you to give you a chance to win some Wizards tickets at 7:45. Now's the time. It is tonight's game. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You want to go to the game tonight? We have two tickets to the Wizards when they take on the Bulls. 7 p.m. It's Fan Appreciation Night presented by Michelob Ultra. All fans are going to take home a free City Edition themed t-shirt. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. That's courtesy of the Washington Wizards. So 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you with those tickets. I'm going to be doing the Wizards Altcast tonight right around 8:35.
Wow, very good.
So I saw the announcement, and so that's like on the other Monumental station?
Monumental 2.
Correct.
Yes. So on the Cap side, Grant Paulson hosts it, and there's different guests. I saw last night Grant was doing it. Our old friend Carl Alsner,
yes,
did the
correct.
Alt cast with him.
Mm-hmm. Smoking and I believe, Al Koken also in the mix.
Yeah, I think. But in studio with him was Alsner and Brent Johnson.
Okay.
And then on the Wizard side, it's J.P. Finley, and then he has different people sit in with him, whether it's Jason Smith, Wes Hall. Not sure who's going to be sitting in with him last night, but I'll just do a quick 5-10 minute hit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll have to watch the Wizards game.
You got to watch them play the Bulls.
Yeah, you'll be watching the Wiz Bulls tonight.
Gonna have to watch some Wiz Bulls.
Excuse me. Is it like the Manning cast? Are you going to zoom in or do you have to drive over there?
No, just a zoomer.
Oh,
Cakes is doing the zoomer on the Cap side.
That's so correct.
He just doesn't know the date yet.
Zoom greater than driving into DC, parking, doing that whole bit.
Right.
I think they heard me talking about this yesterday, and Amanda sent me a text and thought it was funny, and then they wanted to be like nice and like, because I think I said I don't know if I said this on the air, but I know how this works. They look for guests that are going to say yes, right? Booking guests, Trav will tell you.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Booking guests can be a pain.
That's so why they never reach out.
So
to
you
me.
Find your go-tos, and then you're just filling slots.
Yeah.
We're the people at the Oscars cakes that are sitting in the chairs.
We're seat fillers.
Right.
It's okay. That's fine.
And they're like, no, we love you, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Kind of reminds me of when you and I would do the COVID shows on Saturdays. Remember, we had to do Saturday shows.
You would book 100 guests.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were just looking for guests to fill slots because there was no sports to talk about. So we would book like 6 or 7 guests. We were just hoping they would say yes. Mm. Right?
Yeah. I think maybe we had Denny McCarthy on back then.
We did. I remember we had D'Angelo Hall on for about 45 minutes. We had D Hall on for 45 minutes, and he could talk.
He's a great talker. He's an amazing talker.
And we had him on, but man, those were brutal shows.
So some details came out regarding Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
His interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, apparently didn't just steal $4 or $5 million, which was the initial report. The feds, all right, they've looked into it. These are the feds. This is not Major League Baseball's investigators. Federal authorities say that he stole more than $16 million from the two-way superstar's bank accounts. He was accused of bank fraud in a criminal complaint. There was a 37-page document which had evidence. They got the phones, and the phone calls and texts and bank records are all there. So phone calls, bank records indicate
such a
that
digital trail.
He identified himself as Ohtani to authorize the transfers to cover the gambling debts. The text messages included range from the interpreter saying he is messing around with betting college soccer to going back and forth on payment plans. But there was one text exchange that stood out amongst the rest. Have you seen the reports Mizuhara sent to the bookmaker on March 20th, shortly after ESPN and the LA Times reported about the situation? The bookie replies, yes, but that's all BS. Obviously, you didn't steal from him. I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it. Then the interpreter, Ipe, responded, quote, technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me.
All I know is he's a giant mush. Because he won $142 million, but he lost more than $182 million. Total net loss, $40 million in the hole.
Well, hold on. I got to ask you a question. Drav, you know how you had me convinced that, you know, because of the text messages or whatever, that the interpreter is basically owning up that it's him.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't there a chance that knowing that they were on him, that's exactly what you would do to take the fall?
Yeah, but would you risk going to jail for it?
But would the feds fall for that? I feel like the feds should be smarter to fall for just some guy covering.
He started a bank account.
Yeah,
in Ohtani's pretending he was Ohtani. He's busted.
Is he looking to jail time?
On. You didn't tell me that part. That's fine. That's evidence in your favor. I buy that.
Well, also, and remember, we had Brandon Lang on a couple weeks ago, and he said he swore that his source said that
idiot.
He was playing golf with the bookie
mm-hmm.
who Ohtani and the interpreter were working with, and he swore that it was Ohtani making the plays and not the interpreter, that the interpreter was just making the plays for Ohtani.
Right.
I'm convinced of it.
I'm not dismissing that out of hand yet. I'm analyzing the evidence.
Well, the feds have analyzed the evidence, and they're not buying it as
moron.
A fall guy.
Okay.
Loser! Well,
but here's my question.
Who knows what the feds' motives
are? Is Mizuhara looking at jail time?
Yes.
Oh, I would imagine.
So if he's looking at jail time.
He's stolen $16 million from Ohtani.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
People go to jail for stuff, for money.
Massive fraud.
Shine went to jail. Diddy paid him off.
I know. I think it's just rare that someone's going to take the hit and go to jail for something that someone else did.
I don't know. Is he really going to go
to
jail?
So he placed about 19,000 wagers.
That's what I'm asking. We'd have to get a lawyer on.
19,000 wagers in less than 3 years. His average wager was $12,800.
And that
his largest
that
wager
yeah.
was $160,000.
Sound like cakes.
His smallest wager was a $10 bet.
Yeah.
He made a $10 bet?
He made a $10 silly.
But his total losing bets equaled $182.9 million. Net losses, $40.7 million.
Yeah. He goes on the Mount Rushmore of full-blown degenerates.
The one thing Brandon Lang was definitely correct about was he was like, a bookie can't collect that amount of money
right.
from well, the guy who's losing the money. And the bookie, I guess, only collected roughly $16 million of the $40 million that was owed.
It's pretty standard. That's kind of how it works. Valdez, what were you going to say?
Oh, that there's a theory. There's a theory floating around out there that that it all started with a $10 bet, and then he tried to martingale his system, martingale the system,
double up.
So he lost his $10 bet.
Yeah.
Doubles up to 20, loses. Doubles to 40, loses. And if you go 14 straight losses, it comes out to like exactly $163,000.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was like
Trust me.
So that was his largest bet made. So there's a lot of people out there thinking he's doing the double up thing and then lost 14 in a row.
I had a weekend like that way back in the day. Jason was booking the bets. It was the NFL playoff weekend, and I just kept doubling down and doubling down after every loss. But eventually, I looked at the number that I owed and said, well, I have to stop, or else I'm heading towards real financial
I was booking
ruin.
The bets, or I was just, I was putting them into my...
You were maybe the go-between.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you were the contact.
Do you remember what you ended up losing?
I think it was over $1,000.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it might have been like $1,100,
$1,200. You got a better
bucks.
Remember than me. I remember that.
At that point, it was a lot of money.
Well, at least the police side of it, the legal side of it, is off of Ohtani. Major League Baseball may continue to investigate, but it seems the feds have said Ohtani had nothing to do with it.
Trust me. If
and Ohtani gave him his phone. So, yeah, I'm sure you can still be some sort of a conspiracy theorist and think that they're just letting him off, that he's a fall guy.
If the feds have
they looked at
Ohtani's
phone,
the Major League Baseball is not going to be doing any more digging.
Yeah,
they're fine with the interpreter going away. They're fine with that.
And you know, it's not uncommon in sports. There are so many people that get bilked by their financial people that are, you know, that have made hundreds of millions of dollars.
But there probably aren't a lot that get, you know, duped by their interpreter that goes
in. That's true.
And like how loosey-goosey is Ohtani with his bank accounts that he just gives the interpreter access to them?
Well, I think a lot of these athletes are the opposite of Jason Bishop. They're not checking their accounts.
They're just living their life,
and they're not even doing any of that stuff.
Right.
And so that's why, like, all these NBA players, they hire some financial guy, and the next thing you hear,
NBA players got no money
because a financial guy took $30 million.
You know what? They just haven't been around the world enough. That's why.
It's not just the bank account. I mean, he was an imposter.
Right.
He was posing as Ohtani, calling banks, and then he has all of Ohtani's information.
Dude, that guy's going to jail.
That's
why
I'm saying he's
time.
Looking at jail time.
Yeah, I mean, it's serious fraud.
Yeah.
Financial fraud's a big deal.
If these allegations are true, I agree. It doesn't make sense to me.
They have all of the messages. They have his phone calls. Yeah, with the banks
messages.
And the text messages.
And phone calls.
Yeah.
For like months and months or years, or
right? But
it
the
is.
Conspiracy theorist will still feel like, okay, he's just doing that for Ohtani.
Are his texts in English or Japanese? I'm not even doing a bit.
English.
Like,
I just don't know.
In English.
Okay. Yeah, because he knows English.
Maybe it's just as, you know, the simplest thing. Yeah, he stole. Sure.
But you can translate the text can translate from Japanese to English.
Hold on.
Yeah.
But most guys, when they get, and of course, there's millions of stories of like agents stealing from their players. Like I'm not naive. I understand this happens.
Mm-hmm.
But usually they like steal it. Or you know what I mean? Do they all just gamble it away?
Well, it sounds like he was stealing it to pay off.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah, but a lot of times
nothing.
On the financial side,
about is what you're
a
saying,
lot of the
so
financial side,
it.
A lot of times those agents, whatever, they steal it. They're essentially borrowing it, and then they put it into stocks or some business, and then they lose it, and then they got to steal more. And then the poor NBA players got nothing left. They're like, what happened?
But and also, I guess it can happen when a guy you're with literally every day stealing
what
from
happened?
You. You're with that person every day.
You trusted him.
We know a DJ, his wife did that to him.
Yeah. May he rest in peace.
Right.
No longer with us.
But he texted the bookie. He said, I'm going to be honest. I ended up losing a lot of money on crypto the last couple of years. And I took a huge hit, obviously, with the sports, too. Just wanted to ask, is there any way we can settle on an amount?
So he's a crypto bro, too.
But you said, go ahead. So that's a text message.
This is a text.
But you're saying there's also phone calls where you hear the audio of him.
That's what's been reported.
Who knows?
But again,
I'm sure there's a lot that we don't know.
But. My favorite text is where he says, well, technically, I did steal from him. Yeah, technically, you stole $16 million, pal.
Right. That's what a lot of those insiders do, like the financial guys for the NBA players, NFL players, is they think they're borrowing the money, and they think that they're going to double, triple that money, and then refund the player but then they end up losing.
Right.
And it's kind of what it sounds like here.
Right.
Just kept digging a bigger and bigger hole.
All I'm saying is I'm reserving judgment.
Coming up next, John Feinstein joins us here on the Junkies.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.